I thank God for what He's doing in our lives today. And I thank God for each and every individual that is here tonight. Tonight you're going to leave here knowing that everything that you've been going through, everything that you've been through, has been purposed for the oil that's in your life. Amen. If you would, go to the last slide, Jeremiah, and just leave it on the last slide. If you'll see on the back here, as it shows up on the screen, at the end of this month, we're going to have our women's conference. It's called Rise to Power. Rise to Power. Rise to Power is going to be a conference that I know some of the women are going to come in, get empowered, they're going to get unlocked, and they're going to stand into the place of identity that God has called them to be. Now, I told my wife, because it's a women's conference, I'm going to wear my heels, I'm going to put on some wigs, and I'm going to show up. So Sister Cherie, that's been putting it together, she says, no, we know that men want to come, so if you want to come, come. For so long, we've always had a separation for women and men conferences, but I believe that when somebody brings a word, the word is for anybody. What women face, what women's challenges are, is the same thing that men challenge, sometimes in a different sphere or a different atmosphere. But here's the thing. I want you to come. If you feel the Lord is telling you to come, I know you're going to get blessed. The schedule that we have is a little bit different. Maybe you've been to conferences where you have one speaker per night, but this time we're doing two speakers per night. We're going to have a total of six speakers that are going to speak over this conference, and they're going to not only empower you, speak to your identity, but they're also going to unlock you for your destiny. Amen. There will be healing and there will be deliverance. I've been praying about this thing. I've been asking my wife, are you ready? She says, well, the only thing I have, and I'm not going to share with you what she has. I said, that is exactly what you need to bring. That's exactly what you need to bring. And we've heard my wife step into a different area of ministry as far as now stepping into what God has called her to do is to minister the word. And I see the anointing on her life, which has brought me to this particular message I'm going to speak to you about today. It's concerning the oil in your life. So I want you to look to your neighbor and say, the oil in your life is purposed. It is purposed. Now, because it's oil, look to your other neighbor and tell that neighbor that's why you have pressure. Amen. But before we get started, I want you to stand to your feet, go greet your neighbor, hug on your neighbor, tell them how much you love them, and just tell them your oil is pure. Come on now, come on. Your oil is pure. I love it, I love it. It's pure. It's pure. I love it. Get those hugs in there. Get those hugs in there. Amen. Your oil is pure. I love it. I love it. Ha ha. All right, all right. We got to get that fishing rod and start reeling them back in. We got to start reeling them back in. Hey, hey, hey. Love you, love you. Hey, your oil is pure. Your oil is pure. Amen, amen. All right, as you make yourself back to your seats, grab your Bibles, grab your electronic devices. If you're texting, make sure it's text to give. All right, get your Bibles. Your oil is pressured for purpose is the title of this message. Your oil is pressured for purpose. I welcome those of you that are listening by way of podcast and by way of YouTube, by way of the video. Just know that what you've been going through and what you have been facing is purpose for you. Your oil is coming forth in this season. It is a season to celebrate, even when it doesn't feel right. Start celebrating. Look, I want to get out of the gates, out of the chutes, with, you know, trying to be professional about this and trying to do mounting this particular message and releasing it properly. But I feel it stirring in my spirit. I felt it last week. I know that what we have been facing, what we go through in life, we feel that it's something that's permanent, but it's only temporary. And our inconvenience is only temporary. And then we spoke last week about us coming out of our tents because they were never made to be permanent. They were temporary structures for a temporary season. What kept that season long for the Israelites was their heart. No, don't even look to your neighbor. Don't look to your neighbor. I'll just look at you. What kept them in the wilderness and kept them in their tents in the place of temporary was their heart. They didn't want to change. They were so comfortable in what was taking place that they knew that God would provide for them. Now, I know from time to time we like things to work out in, you know, in our favor, right? But it doesn't always happen all the time. It seems like the moment you start stepping into favor and everything starts working for you, it seems like something's getting ready to come at you. And before you know it, it just comes. And it comes from all different sides. How do you deal with something that is coming from all different sides, all different angles, comes in you in all different forms? How do you deal with it? Now you want to look at me and say, Pastor, tell me how. Yeah. Tell me how. Don't make me work tonight. We're going to do this thing, and we're going to come out of this thing knowing that it's purposed for us. Amen? Turn in your Bibles to Psalms 133. Psalms 133. And I'm going to read this out of the New American Standard Bible. It's the book of Psalms 133. It's a song of David. In verse 1, it reads this wise: Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. That alone right there. Unity. To unite, not divide. To unite, to stand, and not to be so judged. Never mind, let's just continue in second verse. It is like the precious oil. Now watch this. It is like the precious oil upon the head coming down upon the beard. Now watch what it says next. Even Aaron's beard. Now here, when we're reading this here, understand that it says it's like the precious oil on the head. Speaks about the oil that comes from the mindset. And then it goes down to the beard that speaks about that's close to your mouth on what you are going to speak and how you're going to react. And then it says, even Aaron's beard, speaking of the priesthood. All right, now, you are all made to be priests. All right. Okay, so you can't negate this, because everything that you're about to experience is because of this particular thing. Now watch this. This is what really gets me. Coming down upon the edge of his robes. I find this very interesting that David is actually saying that where the oil is, it goes from the top all the way down to the very bottom of the outer garments. Why the outer garments? Because you've got to be covered in his oil for what you are about to experience in life. You have to have the anointing of God on your life to experience what is coming your way. Because if you don't have it, you may be running around this world like a chicken with its head cut off, trying to find some sort of peace, some sort of comfort, something that'll explain to you why you're going through what you're going through. Has anybody ever been there? All right, now I'm talking to a real church. Amen. All right. It is like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. For the Lord commanded the blessing, life forever. Father, thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, I thank you that our hearts are prepared, our minds are in you, and I thank you, Lord, that we live out this word in your presence. Lord, we thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. In this particular passage, it's speaking about the oil, the anointing. The definition of the anointing is the supernatural enablement of God, which he gives to a person through the Holy Spirit to accomplish his purpose. Whose purpose? His purpose. Is it for your purpose? Is it for your purpose? Is it for your purpose? Just making sure, because some of y'all were like, is this a trick question, Pastor? His purpose is why he created you. He created you for a specific purpose here on earth, but he's also anointed you for it. Now, the anointing is what destroys the yokes. Now, I've seen many people operate in the knowledge of the word, but no anointing. All right, now see, I'm okay. They can quote you scriptures left and right and tell you where you're in error every time in your life, but there's no anointing, no oil in their life because they only know it as a book. To be a librarian doesn't mean that you're smart. Just because there's books all around you. It would be like putting me in a garage saying I'm a mechanic. Thank God for YouTube. But even then, you had to make some applications and changes to make it work. Hello, somebody. Just because I put my car around all these other BMWs, Ferraris, and Porsches, and all that doesn't make mine one of theirs. Just like being a Christian, going to church doesn't make you. All right, see. Just because you hang around somebody that knows the word doesn't mean that you know the word. You have got to make this thing personal and make it a part of you. So you have the understanding of what God has for you to do. Just because I stand up here next to these instruments and don't think that I can pick one up. I can hand it to you. When she said you have, I don't even know what kind of connection she asked that we had. I just said, yeah. She said, what is that? I said, just say yes. Come early and let's find out. Praying that Pastor Adrian would be here to tell me, what is this cord? But well, we got strings. So the anointing is the supernatural enablement of God that enables you as the individual to do what God's purpose is. And we have to understand that we have to allow it to work through us. Right? Okay. Turn to Exodus 30, verse 22 through 33. I'm not going to read it all, but I just want you to find it in Scripture. I want you to see it. If you got it on your electronic devices, I want you to highlight it, bold it, italics it, whatever you want to do. But in this particular Scripture in Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 33, it gives a description of the anointing oil to Moses. And it contained five different ingredients. One of them was liquid myrrh, sweet-smelling cinnamon, sweet-smelling cane, cassia, and olive oil. Now watch this. Every part of the anointing oil in this particular scripture was used specifically for the use of the anointing oil. Just like there's different types of ingredients for the anointing oil, there's different kinds of anointings for the believer and their ministry. Different kind of anointings. Now, I don't want to go into a whole message about the different elements of the anointing oil, but everything listed before the olive oil were special ingredients, special spices that were necessary that all have symbolisms to Christ itself. Through the crushing, through the roots, the oil was the carrier of those spices so that it can be applied, used, smeared, and used for its service in the tabernacle, used for the healing, those that are sick, bring them before the elders of the church, and they will apply the anointing oil and pray for them, the prayer of faith. Okay? Now, there was also specific things that you are not to even mix this with anything else, and if anybody was to mix it and then use it for something unholy, that person was to be put out of the camp. The anointing is not something you want to play with. Hello, somebody. The anointing is not something that you want to play with. You must guard your anointing. I'm going to put it to you this way. If everything that you've been going through in life has caused so much pain and pressure, wouldn't you feel that it would be to your best interest to guard it? Because you're the one that went through it. Are you just going to throw it around to anybody that comes around? Oh, Lord, let me just say this. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this is for. There is seasons where the enemy will sit within the church to come in to drain the anointing out of the atmosphere so that there will be no demonstration of healing, deliverance, or any power demonstrated in the church. Y'all better hear this. Listen to me. If there is a spirit that comes in to drain the anointing in the atmosphere, the only way the anointing gets drained out is because the head is being drained. If the head is being drained, then no power is being released. Then you start operating, for those of you that are in ministry, you start operating on knowledge as opposed to power. Hello? We don't want to get into this one? Should I just stay with my notes? Because there's ministers in here that are in ministry that you'll get so drained, so worn out, so worked up that the enemy is just draining that oil from you. And you won't even know it. Because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. And the enemy knows that you'll keep doing it. They can come up and you wouldn't even know that the moment you lay hands, they don't want nothing from you but just to suck that anointing out of you. Hello. You got to be prayed up. And you've got to guard your oil. You've got to guard it. Because not everybody that is in association with you is there to help you. They could be there to drain you. Oh, Lord. I'm going to get back to my notes because it's a little bit too on the edge for you. Things that make you go, There's nothing you should play with. The anointing of God should not be played with. And nor can it be purchased. Now, I remember when I got saved, I was under a man of God that was anointed, preached the paint off the wall. He said one thing, he goes, "You want what I got?" I said, "Yeah. What you got? You're going to go through some hell. Hold up now. Hey. You're going to lose everything you have." No. You're going to be ostracized, put out, and be scraping just to live. So, no, I don't want that anointing. I can't just step into what you have. You just can't lay hands on me and give me what you got. How about if I give you a 50? Try to keep it spiritual, 50s, jubilee, and you could just release to me everything you've got, you know? But it comes with a price. But you can't purchase it with money. You can't. Remember, T.D. Jakes said one time, "You want this anointing, but you don't know the price I paid for it. You don't know the price that I've had to pay through my family to get to where I'm at. You've only seen the end result. You haven't seen the process. Because if you had seen the process, you wouldn't be asking what you're asking." All right now. Oh, this is going to help somebody. This is going to help somebody real good, real quick in a minute here, that you're going to understand that everything that you have been going through in your life, that you feel like you're not coming out and it's not ending, you're going to understand one thing, is that God has brought you all the way through. It is your anointing that is increasing. He knows the amount of pressure to put on that seed without crushing it. Because the moment you crush the seed of the olive, it becomes bitter. And some of you that are sitting in here today have been bitter at your circumstance and begin to take it out on those around you and on God. Yeah, there's an altar here. You can come and just repent now. We can just get, I'm here. I'm at the, Lord, forgive me for getting mad at you. Bitter. Mad. How could you? He said, but you ain't there no more. You're no longer where you used to be. You're not the same person that you used to be. But you haven't taken the time to understand that I've been bringing you out of this thing. I've been bringing you through some processes in your life, and I've never left you. You feel that everything that's been happening to you is there to take you out, but I'm going to usher you in. It's not going to take you out, nor is it going to affect the family the way you think it's going to affect. You're going to see a change in this for a reason. You're only going through this for a season. And to everything under the sun, the season has to end when God says so. But, Lord, I feel the anointing. And it don't matter what other people say and what you're going through and how you should do it. You should do it this way. You should do it that way. But I'm going to tell you, if you do it God's way and you stay on what the Word says, you're going to see that the end is better than the beginning. And you're going to see that when things go different, go wrong, and go a little crazy and a little haywire, it's only because the oil that's in your life. Who are you going to release the oil to? If you're holding it for yourself, you're hoarding what God is giving you to give to others. And I don't know why I go through what I go through. I don't know why I hear so many things that people talking about me. I don't know why people lie about me. I don't know why people cheat on me. I don't know why people take things from me. Why people steal. Why, God, why? He says, if you quit asking the whys and just trust me that I'm in your why season right now, then you're going to know that I'm going to bring you all the way through. All the way through. The hand of God is on you right now. The hand of God is on you right now. I saw the arm stretch out right over you. You've been asking him. I see you lighting candles, asking him, is it for real? In the name of Jesus, I declare, by his stripes, you are healed. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now for divine healing. In Jesus' mighty name, by your spirit, oh God, I thank you that everything lines up as you ordain, and walks in total healing. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Whew. You can't buy the anointing. Acts chapter 8, 20 through 22. This is the time when Peter said to the man, says, your money perished with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, in this wickedness and pray your God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. Peter told Simon that his heart was not right in the sight of God. He called his attitude a heart of wickedness, and he told him to repent. Now, we understand that what we go through is tough to begin with. But as long as your heart is right, as long as your heart is right, does that mean your heart has to be perfect? No, because I know my heart is right with God. I don't want to do anything to displease God. But even at times, my heart gets a little crazy. Why? Because your heart is one of the most deceitful places in your life, your body. Your heart will lead you to do some things because your heart is attached to your soul, which is your emotions and your will. And once your will attaches to something that you begin to speak of that's in your heart, whether it's good or bad, it's going to manifest. Do you understand that? If you want to start speaking all kinds of negativity, then what happens? If that's what's in your heart, that's what your soul begins to react with, and you begin to speak out of your mouth, and negativity follows you everywhere you go, and it spews into the atmosphere of your home, your relationships, and even into your body. So he speaks to him that your heart wasn't right. Repent. How many times have you found yourself murmuring and complaining? She said all the time. She said, I ain't gonna front, Pastor, all the time. I'm not even gonna try to hide all the time. You ain't got enough oil up here, Pastor. What we go through, guys, I want you to hear this. It's not to prove what's in your heart. It's to prove what's in your faith. It's not to prove what's in your heart. It's to prove what's in your faith. Because if you truly have faith, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of what it looks like, your faith will get you through. It doesn't say this going to turn it around right away. Boy, you'd like to be speaking to that mountain and say, get out and get out the way now. You know, Pastor, I've been saying it a lot, but this mountain ain't moving. I walk around my apartment, I walk around my house, I walk around everything and just start telling it, you got to go, and it don't move. Maybe that mountain is not there for it to be moved. Maybe that mountain is there to show what's inside of you. Okay, now, because if you murmur and complain about everything that's going on, even about the same thing over and over, he's trying to get that root out. Oh. I done touched the nerve. What you complain about the most consistently, and if that mountain hasn't moved, that's the root that God wants to get out. That's the root he's after. Because he wants to uproot it so there'll be no more fruit of that negativity. Amen? Amen, Pastor. Amen. If I can't say amen, I'm going to say ouch. And there's going to be a lot of ouches in here tonight. Because your pressure is because your oil is pure. Haven't you had that little light that's in your car, Pastor Adrian, where it says that it's time to change your oil? Because there is a lifespan of oil even in your vehicle. It can only go for so many miles. The danger in operating in the same oil that you've been operating in for so long is that it's been burnt out so much, it's been worn out for so long that you need to get an oil change through the anointing of God. What you're going through is about to bring the fresh oil into your life. Amen. Now, what breaks down the oil in a vehicle? It's the heat and the constant friction that breaks it down, and it no longer protects the engine parts. Amen? You think I'm a mechanic. I know some things. You too, baby. But, watch this. If the oil that you have in the anointing of God has only been the oil that you've been operating on when you first had the encounter with God and haven't come into his relationship in his presence to get refined in him, you're operating out of an old encounter. And he's got more for you to experience. And your oil is about to change. Mm. When your hearts are not right before God, we hinder the moving of the Spirit in our lives. When your heart is not right before God, we hinder the moving of his Spirit in our life. Repentance must take place. Repentance must take place. To repent is not a bad thing. To repent is what we need to do on a daily basis. Do you understand? So that our heart continually can be before God saying, whatever is there, search within me, O God. Show me so that I can remove it. Amen? Because circumstances in life are going to present itself to you, and it can make you bitter if you're not careful. And don't look to your neighbor. Don't. Don't look. Don't even do this. The oil is the main carrier of the spices that are used for the anointing oil. The oil is the carrier of the spices that are used for the anointing oil. Are you hearing this? The oil is representative of the anointing that God has given you through your circumstance to carry everything that He's put in you to the next place in your life, so that it can manifest power and demonstration for His glory. Amen? Have you ever, and I'm going to give you an example, have you ever listened to some music, Christian music? Christian music that's not anointed? It's good music. Have you ever heard the difference between anointed music and music? Anointed music breaks yokes. There's oil behind it that is not just the song. It ministers to you to break the yokes. It can change the atmosphere in your life or in your area where you're at, your job, your home, your business. It can change it because it's anointed. And don't get me wrong, I can put some Rolling Stones on, listen to some, Al Green, Smokey Robinson. What you said now, huh? Commodores. Y'all know nothing about this, the Gap Band. Put some of that music on. It ain't anointed, but it'll change the atmosphere. Put on some. Let's get back. But put on some anointed music. Anointed music doesn't just change atmosphere, it changes your perception of what's around you. It changes the way you perceive the things that you're going through. So what you're listening to in the seasons that you're in can keep you in that season or help get you out of that season. Oh, Lord. Look, I don't like to bash genres of music because I like them all. But if you're angry and upset with your situation, putting on a Megadeth, Ozzy Osbourne, that's not going to help you. It's going to make you rage even more. Being sad and depressed to put on some country music that the dog left you, your wife left you, you're broke, you got nothing, and your car done busted and disgusted, you are going to go down a road of depression. Just go, okay. Hallelujah. Someone said, get drunk. We got some escapism in the house we're going to deal with. Woo! This is a real church. I know you only drink the anointing wine. I know that's all you drink. I know. When we do communion, that's the only alcohol. If you do that, you know, whatever. But help me, Lord. Help me. We are talking about the anointing oil, making sure that our hearts are right with God, making sure that we're not murmuring and complaining, making sure that everything that the Lord has promised us we attain at the time that He designed for us to obtain it. Because the Israelites were promised the promised land that would only take them 11 days to get to their inheritance. But because of their murmuring and complaining, it took them a long time. Some of them folks didn't even make it in. Their offspring did. But even then, I began to question, how is it that we can allow God to show up in all these miracles he performed in the wilderness, even after my heart was not right, I was stiff-necked, and I was to the point where I didn't want to listen to God about change, he still showed his hand strong. Okay, all right, this is it right here. It's going to bless you. But this isn't the ticket for you to go out there and act crazy now. Okay, just making sure. I was just looking at your eyes. Now, even though they weren't right with God in their hearts, God still performed miracles on their behalf. It wasn't indicative on whether or not they were right standing with God, did God not work on their behalf. Where many preachers will say that you can't be in sin, hold up. And have God bless you. Because I see all through Scripture, even with David, the one that's writing about the anointing, when he fell with Bathsheba, God still used him. All right now, I'm trying to help you. Your sin doesn't cancel things out, but your sin can delay what God has for you. I don't want to be delayed. If it's only 11 days to get to my promise, you best move out the way. I'm coming in, baby. I'm coming in. The bus is stopped at the front. I'm ready to go right now. If that means I've got to get this right, I'll be at the altar every single service so that my heart can be right with God. But even if it's not right with God, as long as I have a heart that is after his heart, and when I mess up, he doesn't leave me, he doesn't forsake me, he's there to help pick me back up so that I can get back where I left off to work towards what he has for me. Now, I get it. There's things that we shouldn't be doing in life. I get it. One I struggle with the most, I'm going to be very transparent with you. I got oil. I got pastors here that pray for me. Gluttony is hard. When you put food in front of me, it's going to be devoured. I give thanks unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I don't get, and I know, just, can, I'm just going to be me, all right? Okay. How can we only pray for the hands to prepare the meal? Why not the whole person? Thank you, Lord, for the hands to prepare the meal. What about the whole person? Just their hands. The only thing that's blessed is just their hands. Bless the whole person, right? So my prayer is, Lord, thank you. Let's eat. So gluttony. Y'all don't struggle with it. Me. It's me. Y'all don't struggle with murder, if you do. We'll turn the camera off. You don't struggle with stealing those donuts at H-E-B and not pay for them. You don't struggle with lying on your taxes or to your spouse. Or where you spent that money and you didn't tell her. Yeah. One of them is don't covet thy neighbor. Well, you got a nice car, I'm coveting. That's a nice truck, man. That's nice. Lord says, why are you coveting? I'm not, I'm just believing by faith. Honestly, my wife tell you the truth. I walk by a nice truck, I'm touching it. One time I was doing it, the guy was walking. What's wrong with the truck? Nothing, it was a spot. I'm walking. You guys is crazy. But I understand we go through sin, we're going to fall short of the glory of God every day. We're going to sin, whatever the case may be. But that doesn't cancel out the promise. That doesn't. Why? Because Jesus paid the price, the ultimate price, for all your sins. Yesterday, today, the one you just did right now, what you were thinking about, what I was talking about, because you covered it, you did. And you started talking about your pastor in your mind. I know, I heard it. It's okay. But he covered that too. What are we doing on Saturday night? I wish you'd hurry up because I got the brisket on right now. Still smell like smoke. He's just talking too much. Can you get to the... thought it was just supposed to be a 20-minute sermon Saturday night. I thought we were going to be done by now. Acts chapter 16. Now I'm going to get to my message. Well, watch it. But listen, I want you to turn there, and then we're going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to share with you the importance of this. I'm enjoying this, guys. Can you tell? I'm enjoying this. I enjoy his presence. I feel liberated. I feel at peace. And I thank the Lord for his presence. In Acts chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. When you have it, say amen. I'm going to begin reading. It says, then the multitude rose up together against them, Paul and Silas. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. You guys see that in there? You see that in your scripture? Put them in the inner prison and fasten their feet to the stocks. Now, I want you to see this. I want to paint a picture for you so you can understand what the anointing in your life does. The anointing in your life will have people that were just praising you turn on you. The people that were just saying how wonderful you did, how great you are, and all the good things that you have done have turned on you. Paul and Silas went to bring the gospel there, and they were listening. They were witnessing to them, and they were listening, and they were receiving. Now, because this is during the time where there was a woman that was a fortune teller, and he finally got tired of this woman just always pestering them, and he casted the demon out. So now the people get a little agitated, and they turn on these two messengers. Turn on them. So don't always believe your press or your hype. Always keep your heart humble before the Lord. Did you hear that? I don't care how many accolades you get, how many times you have prophesied, healed people, raised the dead. If you're raising the dead, I need to talk to you. Let me get back on track. But all that anointing that's been going on, all the demonstration of power, don't get too comfortable with it that it's you. It's God in you for his purpose. Amen? So here they are now. They get thrown into prison, right? The magistrates tells them, the jailers, to beat them and flog them, right? So in other words, they went through the public humiliation of being beaten and stripped on their back, just like Jesus. That's the flogging. That's what they did. They would take the poles and hit them across the back. Now, they didn't get the cat of nine tails, but they got the beating on the back. Then they were to take them in. Now, watch this. The jailer now is the same ones that beat them, takes them into the prison, and because they were given such a charge to watch them securely, they put them into the inner prison and then locked their feet in the stocks. Do you know what those stocks are? Say it again. Can someone come up here and demonstrate it? Don't all jump at one time. First, y'all were from your seat. Come on, George, come on. Demonstrate the stocks. Okay, can I get another chair up here? Because I want him to be comfortable. Can I get a chair real quick? Just real quick. Oh, look, Pastor Aiden. Pastor Aiden, that's why you were here in the service today. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Let's give a hand to Pastor Aiden right now. Pastor Aiden. All right. Thank you. Here's what I want to prove. I'm going to show this to you. Thank you, sir. Did y'all know that this is the position? Now watch this. Why was it so important to put Paul and Silas in the stocks in the inner prison? Watch this. This is what the enemy's after. Anything that has to do with your feet represents your walk in God. The enemy is trying to stop you and to lock up your feet that brings the good news and good tidings to those that are in need. Keep your legs straight for a long period of time and keep your knees locked in a straight position. Guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be able to move and you're going to be numb. Oh, better hear this. When situations go from bad to worse, you begin to get numb in the things about your faith and carrying the good news. So they're going to keep you locked up by your feet. Your hands can be free. It didn't matter about the hands. They didn't care what the hands were doing. I don't want you walking in this city anymore. I don't want you moving around and bringing the good news anymore. I don't want you to be able to move not one inch from your lower body because I'm attacking your faith. Now watch this. You got pressure on your knee right now going down, right? So watch this. Now, they're in the inner prison. What is the inner prison? The inner prison is they're in the middle of the prison that has an open grate on the outside so that people can come in and throw trash on top of them. Yeah, and bodily fluids. Okay? Now, if we were to ever to get to this point in our life, I don't want you to have your feet down there, so you can take them up, but stay right there. Now watch this. Who else wants to be Paul? This is Silas, right? Who wants to be Paul? Come sit down. Come on, just sit there. That's it. Okay, there's a female Silas, but it's okay. So, hey, God created them in his image, male and female. All right. Okay, so now, all of this stuff is going on in the inner prison. And if this was to happen to Christians today, would you praise? Would you worship? Would you start singing hymns to God? Are you kidding me? Nowadays, we can't even get people to commit to 2 hours. We can't even have them commit to a church. We can't even get them to submit to a whole different service. But in the process of this, watch this, because their feet were elevated, they couldn't move. God didn't come in the midst of their praise to loose them of their stocks. He came to loose the cells for everybody, including them. In the midst of everything, they started worshiping. They start worshiping in the midst of everything that was going bad, everything that went from good to bad to worse. They started worshiping together. They couldn't feel the lower parts of their body because now they were numb, but there was something inside of them called the anointing of God. The oil began to speak up in the midst of their circumstance, and the praise that came up was the anointed praise of the pressure that's been put on them so that it can change the atmosphere, not just for them, but everybody else that was behind the bars that were locked up and imprisoned. What you go through is to set the captives free, no matter where they're at, no matter where you're at. If you're there, the oil is there, the anointing is there. If the pressure continues to rise, you are rising to the top. You are coming up and coming over. You're there to bring people out of their mess, to bring them out of their stuff that they're struggling with, so that they can have victory in every area of their life. God, hear this. Now, the scripture says that when they were worshiping, there was a loud thunder that the earth shook and the foundation shook and all the prison doors opened, but not one of them left. don't know about you. I've been behind prison doors. Oh, Lord. Short period. It was short period. Misdemeanor. So, okay. I just had to share it. You know, they cast judgment all the time. But I didn't like it. I was crying, Mama. Mama. Under my breath, but I was crying. When that door opened, and they said, Martin Pedro. I didn't wait for nothing else. And about six other Martin Pedro's got up too. In Mexican culture, we name everybody about the same name anyhow. Jesus, they all got up. So the prison doors open, but what kept the prisoners from running? They weren't saved. They didn't hear the gospel. They didn't hear it because they were already in prison. The gospel only came through Paul and Silas out there. They didn't hear it. What you're going through should never negate your praise and your worship. It should never be taken away. Regardless of what you're facing, regardless of what negativity, regardless of how you feel, it should never take away your praise and your worship. Because in the midst of your problems, in the midst of the sources, the things that are coming against you, somebody is watching you. And as they watch you, they're going to see what you do and who you believe in. They didn't leave their cells because they wanted to know how and what possessed them. How and what possessed them to worship. I said possess. Because the moment I said yes to Jesus, I'm no longer my own. I'm his. And he can do what he wants in my life. We may not like where he tells us to go. We may not like what it looks like, what it feels like, or how it's even going to smell like. But he sent you there for a purpose. I'm going to break it down real quick for you in a hurry. I'm going to get you out of here in about 2 more hours. Now watch this. Watch. The jailer said, turn on the lights. Sometimes you're going to be put in so much darkness. Everything around you is going to feel like you can't even see your way out. That you're going to even get to the point that you won't want to praise and worship. But deep down inside, that seed still didn't get crushed. That oil begins to carry all those spices up and through you. And the moment you begin to praise and worship in the midst of everything that you are in at that very moment, it begins to open up doors. It begins to open up the heavenly realm. And it begins to minister to those that are around you. It's not what comes out of your mouth. It's what's in your heart that comes out in the circumstance that you're in. Watch. The jailer turns on the lights. He sees them all there. The first thing he says, what must I do to be saved? Not only, watch this, did the jailer, the one that whipped them, beat them, and then put them in the stocks, is the same one that came and loosed the stocks and ministered to the wounds that were put on them and went and took them to the house, fed them, and then the whole family got saved. Got baptized that night. Oh, Lord, that night. That's power. That's the anointing on your life. I've had people challenge me about the anointing. You don't need all that. It don't take all that. Okay. Okay. God bless you in your theology. But my Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yokes. Amen? Watch this. When I read that, I was getting all happy. I said, Lord, you're going to make my enemy come and clean me up and feed me? And feed me? You're missing this already. The enemy that has come and caused all these problems in your life is going to turn things around and begin to work for you. Hear this? Then the word comes on what happened that they tell the jailer to tell Paul and Silas to leave the city and never come back. Read the story. Paul and Silas said, oh, no, he didn't. That's what it said to me. Said, oh, no, he didn't. First, you publicly humiliate us and we're Roman citizens and you did this wrongfully, and you want to put us out quietly and privately? Paul and Silas says, we're not leaving until they come and escort us. Watch this. This is going to bless you. Your anointing will cause your enemy to escort you into your freedom, escort you into your promised land, escort you to where you didn't think you were going to have the ability to get to. And not only are they going to clean you up, fix you up, feed you, and they're going to send you up, but they're going to escort you to your freedom. This is how I know that the enemy is God's handiwork. Watch this. Because what the enemy is designed to do to hurt you and kill you and destroy you, God says, I'm turning it for your good. You may not like it in the season that you're in. You may not like it when you're in it at that moment, but I'm going to turn it for your good. You may not see it at that moment, but I'm about to turn the lights on in your circumstance. And I'm going to loose you from your stocks. And no longer are you going to be paralyzed in your walk, but now you're going to infect people's lives with my anointing on your life. Thank you, Paul and Silas. Thank you, Paul and Silas. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hallelujah. I love it when God has a way of showing up and saying, this is what I'm going to do in your life. Lord, have your way. Not my will, but your will. How many of y'all pray that? That's why you're going to the hell you're going to. That's why. Why are you getting mad? You prayed it. Why are you murmuring and complaining? You prayed it. You asked God to have his way. And now when he sends you or does something in your life, you get mad at him first. Get your heart right. It's the oil that is being pressured for his purpose. It is the oil that is being released in this pressure for his purpose. Amen. Joanne, can you put your hand on her heart, please? I speak healing in the areas of your relationship. I speak healing to you in the areas of your mind you think you're less than, don't believe that you can receive better than. You've settled for about 6 years. You've settled. Here, the Spirit of God is saying, not only am I going to give you a revelation and illumination so you can see and understand that I have good for you. And the good that I have for you will speak well of you. I speak to the heartache that comes at times, and there's fear that's all around you. I speak to that area of fear, and I speak peace and faith to see this thing be removed. There is a change in the season for you that is going to bring about peace. Peace. Hear broken glass and slamming doors. I declare to you peace in your home. Peace in your home. Peace around you and peace in your sleep. God stopped by tonight to tell you that you are that flower that is getting ready to blossom and you're about to be opened up to receive his goodness. Your heart's been wounded and hurt over and over. Let him in, baby girl. Let him in. He won't hurt you. God won't hurt you. Man will. Mankind will. God won't. So hear this by the Spirit of the living God. you're going to sleep well. You're going to sleep well. And fear is going to leave because of his perfect love for you. Amen. Amen. Father, I thank you that tonight you have spoken concerning our oil, our pressure. But Lord, it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yes, it breaks it off of our life. But Lord, it's so that we can break the yokes and set the captives free in the lives that are around us. Help us not to complain, Lord. Help us not to murmur. But help us to see the goodness and the handiwork of God that is in our life. We may not understand it in that very moment, but Lord, I thank you that you're in it with us. And I thank you, Lord, that when it seems dark and bleak around us, you'll command the light to be turned on. And Father, that we will minister to those that have been in the darkness and will bring the light, the hope, and eternal life because of the cross and the resurrection. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus, and everything that he's done. We thank you that he intercedes for us today and every day. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen.